Oh, here he comes! Minister!
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 How are you? Minister! How's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
All right, it's time for Selwyn. Are you going to get there, Selwyn?
Yeah, hi, John. How are things?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Missed you last week. Parental duties and that.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Always miss the wire when I'm not here to do it. So this week you wanted to talk about the dear departed Sir Paul Reeves on the day of his funeral, his tangi.
Yeah, as the first part of it, I thought it was important to note, you know, and the funeral, the state funeral is ongoing at the moment, and I think it's just, yeah, really important to note this guy. I remember back in the... You know, as a young guy in the 1980s, when the Longy government, the David Longy Labor government, announced that he was going to be the new Governor General, and it was an interesting appointment because he was the first Maori Archbishop to New Zealand, and he was certainly the first Maori Governor General to be appointed in New Zealand. And in his term in office, you could see that he connected and remained connected to the people, and his comments when deregulation was starting to really bite into New Zealand and the cities, the suburbs and the provinces. Paul Reeves is Governor General, who's obviously the Queen's representative here in New Zealand at that time. He kind of said that these kind of policies are going to stratify New Zealand society, is I think the term he used.
Yeah.
And the interesting guy, and I just thought, beginning, it would be right of our program just to note that he has passed this
yeah.
week.
That's, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. It's always, you know, a person who's... endeavoured to make the lives of other people a little bit better when they've passed. You're quite right to do that. And also you wanted to talk about tertiary education for adults and National's policies therein.
Now, just as a bit of a roundup on what has been happening in Parliament this week, John, there's, you know, it's an urgency. There's a lot of laws and a lot of legislation that is being passed at the moment, particularly this week. Now, a lot of it involves the tertiary education sector and impacts on that. For example, the government passed just last night and through this morning a new bill that basically cracks down on those who have not been able to repay back their student loans, and it's kind of now got the ability, the Inland Revenue has got the ability to recall the entire loan all in one go for those who are defaulting, as it says, seriously defaulting on repaying their student loans. So I wanted to mark that because I know that many in your audience will be interested in such things. But generally, the National led government has really been under pressure, particularly this week, for figures that are telling us what really we all know, and that youth unemployment, and that's from 18-year-olds through to 24-year-olds, is climbing to unprecedented levels. Figures were put before the House. They're coming from, you know, official survey, the New Zealand Household Survey, that comes out once a year, that really, you know, analyses where the trends in society are going. And then Phil Gough, the leader of the Labor Party, he announced and put details to the Prime Minister during Question Time this week, where it said 18 to 24 year olds on the unemployment benefit for 12 months or longer has increased by 733% since December 2008. So what that amounts to is around 58,000 people who are aged between 15 and 24, so we just note that change, that earlier figure in the age there, are currently unemployed, not in work, not in tertiary education programs, or not in any training whatsoever. So that's 58,000 people of an eligible work age up to 24 that are excluded from that, John.
Yeah, and then you know what they say, don't they? The devil finds work for idle hands.
Yes, it does. You know, all sorts of problems there. I mean, imagine, you know, the biggest thing that signals out for me here is when you're talking these big numbers of people who cannot get into some kind of area that is going to progress their lot, you know, in life, then, you know, you get disenchantment.
Mm.
We see it all over the world. We saw this kind of thing in evidence in England in the riots.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, this is where Britain has ended up now. It's almost like I'm watching Britain... say 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago, I'm watching that happen here, and I saw what happened last week, and it's almost like the lesson hasn't been learned, you know?
The Prime Minister, his take on it was that you know, there is a long way to go, but there were 43,000 new jobs created last year. 15,000 of those were for young people. Now, John Key, the Prime Minister, he's saying that's a good start. That created, you know, this whole kind of to-ing and fro-ing between the two leaders here. Gough kind of replying, what's there to celebrate in that? He's kind of saying, you know, in the Household Labour Force survey, which we're just quoting above, he's saying 33% of teenage Māori people are unemployed, and nearly 42% of 15 to 19-year-olds in the Pacifica kind of communities, they're unemployed. I mean, these are huge figures. You know, you're talking nearly, with Pacific people, Pacific youth here, you're talking nearly half of the population of Pacific youth unemployed. The Prime Minister, he replied then that the overall unemployment rate was steady. Now, you know, so he's saying then the overall unemployment rate is, you know, steady. He's not saying it's improving, saying it's steady. So clearly, in my view, John, it's all linked in many ways to the National Party's policies that are designed to exclude people from entering tertiary education, training and adult education, and that's where, you know, the whole thing, like we know, you know, and I think we've spoken a number of times about these kind of cul-de-sac policies that we've seen in evidence under the National-led government, where, you know, they block off access to many individuals being able to get into tertiary education. They canned just about all funding for adult education, you know, that's in the secondary schools, so people, you know, going for a certificate or trying to actually build a skill. Yeah. Well, that was chucked out. We saw, you know, training in the trades kind of thing cut right back at a time when the country obviously needs it. Mm. I know these are tough economic times, but really, you know, when you start excluding people from being able to better their existence through education, tertiary education in particular, you're going to get a spill out in the unemployment benefit. It's not rocket science. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. You cut off one road of people going down, they're going to go somewhere else. You know, and then National kind of trying to struggle its way through this week and trying to actually explain away the figures and saying that they're on the right track. It's just not convincing.
It's pretty depressing, to be honest. The way, I mean, for over a year, I've been doing this show now for over a year, and honestly, I'm shocked at some of the policies, and not just policies, but some of the situations that Māori are finding themselves in that are kind of due to extraneous forces. It seems like it's weird to me. It just seems like we'll just don't worry about them. You know, sod them. We worry about that. You know, it's not our problem.
You do get to a point where you start to wonder what is motivating some of the policy. Mm. You know, I know we have a national government that does represent the centre-right, or those generally, you know, if you're going to stereotype the national stakeholder groups, it's those that are doing fine, you know, that are kind of past the building years of their lives or come from a certain situation of privilege. Now, I don't like to stereotype in such ways, but that's generally, you know, where the National Party kind of support base comes from, and therefore it looks after that group. Māori, you know, it is well represented in the National Caucus now, in the sense that we do have Tohenere that's going to be standing in West Auckland over there for this election. We've got other people in Cabinet that are, you know, obviously representing Māori interests here. Pacific representation, National Caucus is well stacked with Pacific representation. Sam Ng from the Mangukiki electorate, you know, he's a dynamic, forward-moving Pacific Island professional man who's making a real success of his political career. In some ways, you've got to wonder whether or not the overriding ideology existing in the National Cabinet at the moment is overriding the interests of those that represent electorates out there, because I cannot see that many out there that are trying to actually connect with their MP are getting much joy at all, John, when these kind of policies are there. We talk exclusion politics. Exclusion politics is basically politics that saves a dollar for the state or the government when it stops people from accessing services that are still in existence. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing in the tertiary sector. You know, it capped numbers back, you know, in 2008, it capped numbers back at that level. So therefore, as the population, the youth population grows, and that's a fact in New Zealand, then many of those are not going to be able to make it into universities or tertiary institutions or any of the other kind of ways that build up, you know, a person's education and skill base. That's what we're talking about when we say exclusion policies. We see and we saw exclusion policies policies coming into the health arena in the 1990s to the point where, you know, without going on too much of a deep tangent, because I know it's tight time here, but, you know, the health policy exclusion criteria policy was getting snuck through, hidden away in a core health services committee in the 1990s, and they actually broke the news that, that what it was doing was excluding people from getting renal dialysis and other treatments on the basis of whether or not they were blind, whether or not they were mentally disabled, intellectually handicapped, suffering mental illness, antisocial behaviour. The list went on and on, and it was contrary. If it hadn't been in the state apparatus at that time, it would have been contrary to the Human Rights Act at the time. They ended up disbanding it after that news broke. But this is the kind of thing I'm talking about here, in the sense of excluding people from accessing services. And I just point out to the listeners, John, just keep an eye out on this type of thing and challenge where you can.
That's it. Well, look, Selwyn, again, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad that we're back on again. I'm actually not going to be here next week, again, parental duties, but after that we'll have a good run at it. But thanks for coming on the show, mate, and have a fantastic weekend.
Take care, John.
See you, mate.
Bye.